Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you want to send us an email, just use this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net is our email address. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and now Steve Jordahl joins us.
Good morning.
This half hour from onenewsnow.com and American Family Radio News.
Yes, I am. Proud to be.
What's your springtime when we get out of the house now and good weather? What do you like to do?
Well, back in Colorado, I love to hike the mountains and trails and everything. But it's so flat here that
we got hills,
but the rain we get makes it all soggy here. So I'm still trying to find a good springtime activity. I like taking drives.
Drives doesn't do the same cardio as
hiking, right? No.
But I mean, it does for your foot, I guess. But
well,
that's about all it exercises, right?
I'm still open to some good springtime.
Biking or something like that?
Yeah, I got to get a bike. I don't have a bike here.
I'm ready for the yard work to start. The mowing, the weed eating.
That's therapeutic for you. You like that, don't you?
Yes, I do. Now, come like September, I'll be tired of it.
August and September when
I'll be ready for the cold to come.
Yeah.
Give me a little break, but.
Yeah. But right now, you're ready to get back out there.
Yeah, because my waist size has gone up about 2 inches just over the winter.
Are you sure that's not like sympathetic pregnancy?
Because maybe, but I'm not out in the yard working, sweating.
Right. You're like a bear. You hibernate.
That's exactly right.
You know,
so I'm ready to get back out.
Bears put on fat in the winter, and then they burn it up in the summer, and that's what you're going to do.
Well, you don't want to get in the way of Walker when he's hungry.
There you go.
Duly noted.
Good to see you back, too, by the way.
Yeah.
You came back so you get some sleep?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I better not be sleeping on the job, though.
Right.
My boss's office is 2 doors down from
me.
True that.
All right, what do you got, Steve Jordahl?
I wanted to start by taking a look at some of our presidential candidates, or at least one. Joe Biden, former president, who's not an official candidate yet, but it's coming. Everybody knows it's coming.
Okay.
And he was at a fundraiser the other day, and he was talking to these Democrat donors and lamented about how he performed during the Clarence Thomas hearing. If you remember, the Clarence Thomas hearing was the whole Anita Hill accusation.
Back in the 80s? I'm going back to the 80s now?
And so he was the one that was in charge of the Judiciary Committee at the time, and this is him lamenting what he did then, and giving you a little idea about his mindset about what needs to happen now.
When I opposed Clarence Thomas' nomination, I voted against him. But I also realized there was a real and perceived problem the committee faced. There were a bunch of white guys. No, I mean it sincerely, a bunch of white guys hearing this testimony. To this day, I regret I couldn't come up with a way to get her the kind of hearing she deserved. I realize I get a little too passionate about this sometimes, but we all have an obligation to do nothing less than change the culture in this country. A white man's culture. It's got to change. It's got to change.
There you go.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, that's Anita Hill. Could be your president.
Anita Hill was an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
Clarence Thomas, a African-American man.
Nope. Oh, yes, Clarence was, yes.
You know something I don't know, Steve?
No, I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking of Biden.
I think it's more than self-identify. I think he actually is a African-American male.
Yes.
Anyway, it was something about a hair on a Coke. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's anything else, but it was a Brett Kavanaugh all over again.
It was the first Brett Kavanaugh.
Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah. A woman, so she had her day in court. She had her day to her hearing, and he was still elected. But I tell you what's getting a little eerie to me is, and eerie maybe is not a strong enough word, can you just put down white men?
Right.
And just because they're white males?
Right.
I thought that's what we're trying to get away from.
Well, this seems to be the litmus test for the left.
How much you can put down white
how
males?
How much you can shame the majority? How much you can
what
shame...
What am I supposed to be shamed about?
Well,
just because I'm Caucasian and male?
Yeah, basically. I mean,
so am I supposed to apologize to somebody every day?
It's a very shallow way of thinking, so I'm even having a hard time explaining it
to
you.
No, it's bigoted.
Well, yeah. Well, I know, but I can't even be devil's advocate because it doesn't even make sense.
I can.
You can't.
Not that I believe it.
Yeah.
But this is
about for the Democrats.
This is about power, because those who are in today's Democrat and in fact a lot of the culture, those who are oppressed have a power. They have power over the oppressor. That's what we want. Everybody is saying in the name of justice, the oppressed should be vindicated and the oppressor should be punished. Mm-hmm. And so white culture has oppressed black culture and any other culture, gays. White culture has oppressed anybody. So we're at the bottom. White men are at the bottom of the rung. We're the
Why
ultimate...
are people still trying to come to America if we're so bigoted and hateful?
Well,
I mean, people are flooding our borders to come in here to this most...
It's a valid question.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And I think Steve's right. Victimhood is popular. It's like the new hip thing to be a victim, and especially to be a victim to racist Trump supporters. That's the new thing. And so, and also, who's going to put down Biden?
Biden's a white male.
For bashing the white man. Nobody is, because if you do, then you're taken up for the white man, and you're a racist.
But Biden is virtue signaling.
That's it.
Big time.
But I think he needs to step aside. Because he is a white male, and he needs to form an organization to bring down the white male culture in America.
There you go. I think we're
and not be the president, because that only enhances and entrenches the power of white male.
We mock a little bit. We mock a little bit. But remember when President Obama came in and said he wanted fundamental change, and how he almost got it, and if it weren't for President Trump being elected, Hillary Clinton might have completed the change and made us irreparably more liberal, more anti-life, things you can't get back.
Right.
Biden is doing the same thing. And to counter the narrative that he's the white guy, old white guy in the race, he's promising to they're talking about getting Stacey Abrams from Georgia, the lady who almost got the governorship down there. She's a black woman, to run with him. So
he's trying to build up his resume and pass the left-wing litmus
test. He's 78 years old.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The Democrats, and I've said this over and over again, that to get down to the root of why the Democrats seem to always bash the white guy, if you will, or always go after the conservative, that is because they thrive on identity politics. Democrats thrive by divisiveness, and it's counter. That doesn't make sense, but the Democrats thrive on divisiveness. So if they can divide everybody up into white guy, black guy, Hispanic guy, Trump voter, Obama voter, divide everybody up and pit everybody against each other, then they come in and say, well, we're the party of unity. We're for everybody, unless you're a white guy, and then they get the votes.
Anger is a great motivator.
Yeah.
And they make everybody angry, and if everybody's angry, they say, we're going to fix this, and they'll come to the polls.
They're basically trying to start another race war. Jussie Smollett, I mean, he's trying to stir up this fake racist hate crime to get everybody worked up against
I tell you, they keep talking about Charlottesville. That was one day, a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
A few dozen people? There were
several hundred there.
All right, we don't know how many of them were. But I mean, they act like it was the Alamo.
Well,
right—the
fact that
of the cause,
the fact that a woman died, does make it.
Yeah,
they
ran over. He ran over with a car and he went to jail.
Right, and he should have. People keep misquoting President Trump on that.
I'm just saying these people are like Charlottesville. Charlottesville is going on all over America
every day. Was the Civil War 2.0.
Yeah, it's crazy. America's not that racist.
No,
and not that bigoted, and not that hateful. Right. This is like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Down there in Montgomery, they issue their annual list of hate groups. They'll list thousands of them. I've looked at it because we're on there.
And some of them are a P.O. box.
Yeah, yeah.
Hateful P.O. box.
Right.
Yeah. So they'll list, I'm just using for example, they might list 25 KKK groups on their list in Mississippi.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just pulling out figures from the last time I remember. Okay? And then they'll throw American Family Association in there or somebody like that. Yeah. Like we're akin to the KKK.
And a guy who sells flags and just happens to have a Confederate flag for sale.
Or, right. 20 miles from here
is
a store where they sell Confederate war memorabilia. Is that what you want to call it? Like flags or okay.
Buttons, medals.
Yeah, whatever you may think of that, that's listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. A store that sells Civil War
memorabilia.
Yeah. I'm probably sell Confederate flags for all I know. But I'm just saying that they put that down, chalk that up as one of the thousand hate groups.
And they have like two employees.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of these groups that Southern Poverty Law Center lists as hate groups are just post office boxes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just saying to you, you know, as long as we have human beings on planet Earth, there will be people who are racist, who hate people for various reasons, having to do with skin color, ethnicity, whatever the case may be, gender, whatever the case may be. But it's not near as prevalent as the Southern Poverty Law Center, for example, in Hollywood,
Joe Biden.
Make it out to be. Yeah. If it were, the Southern Poverty Law Center, by the way, three of their top officials just resigned.
Mm-hmm. One was fired.
Or were forced out because they were evidently not practicing what they preached inside their own office. Mm-hmm. But they got over $100 million in the Grand Caymans. In an offshore bank account, how much money they got?
They have a $500 million in assets.
Okay,
in cash.
You got $500 million in the bank, my friend, and you're claiming hate is at an all time high in America, and you're not spending your money to fight it.
Yeah.
What that you're trying to put it as part of your portfolio, so you can find out how to. What does that tell you? That tells you it's not a problem as serious as they claim to be.
Sure.
They're just a fundraising machine. Go ahead.
The line that sums it up for me, going back to Jesse Smollett, and we don't have to go relitigate that whole thing, but the line that they came up with for Jesse Smollett that just hit core for me was, Jesse Smollett is what you get when the demand for racism exceeds the supply.
Boom.
Great quote.
That's exactly right.
Let me tell you something. We got 330 million people who live in this country, or something like that. 99.999% of people are not racist, homophobes, bigots. Now, do I disagree with the homosexual lifestyle? Yes, I do, based on the Bible.
Right.
But I you know what? I have a problem with adultery, too, based on the Bible.
Sure.
And I got a problem with Tim's sin, based on the Bible, whatever that is. So, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, that doesn't mean I don't hate myself.
Right.
And I don't hate a homosexual man. Because he behaves in a way I disagree with.
You know, and I think, I genuinely think the majority of Americans, even Democrats, most Democrats, are probably getting tired of the constant divisiveness.
Yeah, I agree.
That's going on with Biden.
You're talking about your average Democrat out there.
Yeah, imagine your blue-collar co-worker in Pennsylvania who's a white guy, and here's Biden bashing white guys.
Right.
Just because
of
their skin color.
In a broad, generic way.
Just because of their skin color.
Just because of their skin color. So it's just... Well, you know what? If the white people in America have been the majority, vast majority of the citizenry for a couple hundred years
since the founding,
then guess what? They're going to control the majority of power. That's going to be true anywhere in the world.
Yeah, to your point, if let's just throw out numbers, if 70% of the population is Caucasian. And then in a business, 70% of the employees are Caucasian. Well, that's per capita. I mean, that's just numbers.
The whole
status.
Well,
affirmative action. If 18% of the population is African American, and then 18% make up a college, that's just numbers.
Yes. So I mean, we could go on about this. I'll tell you an example of how this nuttiness impacts popular culture, and it doesn't have to be logical. It just thrown out by a celebrity here and there. LeBron James, who is a great basketball player, obviously one of the top basketball players of all time, he said recently, and you got to keep in mind, this is a man who's worth, I don't know what his net worth is, but over $100 million.
Oh,
got to
be.
Huh?
Sure. Got to be.
More than that, probably. for playing basketball.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Which I'm not putting that down. That's a talent that people pay to watch. So it's America. It's capitalism. But I'm just saying, LeBron James said that, talking about the NFL, you remember when the NFL decided they weren't going to have their players kneel any longer for the national anthem because it was hurting their business? Well, LeBron James said that these old white men who own NFL teams were like slave owners.
Which was odd because he never knelt. No one in the NBA knelt.
No, they didn't. But I'm saying here, listen to yourself. Slavery. You're comparing multi-millionaire players who work for a person who writes their checks, and all he's saying is, I don't want you kneeling for the national anthem. It hurts our business with our fans, so please just stand for the national anthem. That's all I'm asking you. And LeBron James says that is like a slave owner. And nobody bats an eye at that kind of nutty, that kind of nutty public statement. And because he's LeBron James, he gets away with it.
And if someone were dare to challenge LeBron James, guess what? They would be a racist. Tag him as racist.
That would be a racist.
They would lose their job. They'd be sued.
Right. So let me understand you, LeBron. A slave owner gives millions of dollars to the players so they can live lavish lifestyles and better themselves and their family. But they're oppressors? I mean, it's insanity. It but that's how the left thinks in this country, and they get away with it oftentimes, unchallenged. All right. Steve, what do we got next, my friend?
I want to take you to Pennsylvania to the opening of the House session in Pennsylvania. This happened a few days ago. A state representative—
Harrisburg?
The capital would have been in Harrisburg. The state representative, her name is Stephanie Borowitz. She's also a pastor's wife, and she opened the session in prayer. Now, this is about a minute 40. We can dive out of it at any time when you feel like you've gotten the gist of what this is. Some of the good stuff is at the end, though. So I want you to hear this prayer and then tell you
what's
going on.
How long does it last? Now?
Minute 45 is this clip.
Representative Borowitz.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truths. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. And we're asking you to forgive us, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty, name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's called bringing the wood.
In a state legislature,
in a state,
right?
Opening up the state legislation.
So now, what's the problem?
Well, it just so happened that sitting in the wings was a lawmaker whose name is, I wrote it down, whose name is... I left my... Anyway, she's a Muslim lawmaker. Her name is Ms. Johnson Harrell.
Mm-hmm.
And she was getting sworn in. Movita Johnson Harrell is her name. She was getting sworn in, and she thought that that was very offensive, that you mentioned Jesus.
Well, it would be. It would be to a Muslim.
It probably would be. This is what she had to say afterwards.
I do not have a problem with religion. I do not have a problem with choice. I do not have a problem with Jesus. I have a problem with using religion as a weapon. That prayer in the beginning is meant to be inclusive and to bring everyone together. We as Republican and Democrat can find many, many things to fight about. Prayer should not be one of them. There should definitely be censure because we need to be promoting inclusion, not division.
Well, now, 50 years ago, this is not an issue because everyone pretty much believed, like the evangelical Christian lady who just prayed. But nowadays, it's not like that. And so I would just say, and I know there's some people disagreeing with me out there maybe, but this woman will have her day to pray, right?
I imagine she could.
Yeah. Representatives can get their day to pray.
Yeah.
I would be willing I think you should let her pray on her day.
And whoever she wants to pray to.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have equal, you know what I'm saying? Instead of censuring or I think it's even more dangerous to try to squash religious freedom.
Exactly.
Just to be safe.
It's going to be offensive to a Christian to have somebody pray to Allah. I know that. But, I mean, I'm just saying it's either that or you don't get to pray.
That's right.
So. Yeah, just to be safe, I ran this prayer by Abe before I came in here. Totally constitutional, nothing wrong
Absolutely.
With it. So Absolutely. Just in case anybody out there was wondering.
No, it's a free country. Listen. Representatives get the mic on the floor. They can say whatever they want, however offensive they want.
I don't think you have to be there, do you?
You don't even have to be there as the other representative to open in prayer. And to your point, Dad, when she gets her day to pray, she can pray to whoever she wants.
Right, right. And the Christians, I guess, who would be offended by that don't have to be there.
No, and it's a free country.
Right. So I would rather go that direction than just say and shut down prayer altogether.
Exactly.
Anyway, did you have something else?
Yeah, just one last thing, if we can. This happened at a PGA event in Florida, the Valspar PGA event, and I want you to hear the description of what happened when a falcon grabbed a fish out of the pond there.
Well, a lucky fish in Florida has a new chance at life thanks to one man. A bird catching its dinner and then losing it right smack in the middle of a PGA Tour, the Valspar Championship event. All this happened in Tampa on Sunday. And while the bird went hungry, it appears the fish got super lucky when that spectator rushed it right back to the safety of the pond. I guess relative safety, right?
Bird grabs a fish out of the water, flies away, drops
at a pro golfer's.
At pro golf at the Valspar, at PGA event, which, by the way, was won by Paul Casey.
Okay.
8-under. I thought you might appreciate that.
Thank you.
But you saw it grab this fish out of the water, start flying away, and then over the green, he drops the fish. And some spectator came out, picked the fish up, and ran it back into the pond to save the fish.
So no dinner for that?
No dinner for that falcon.
and the fish was spared.
Happily ever after. I think
so
right
the fish
now
is maybe unlike a cat with 9 lives, at least has 2.
He's back with his fish friends
yeah.
right now.
I mean, swimming around going, you won't believe
it. He's got quite a tail.
You won't believe what happened to me. That's what the fish is saying to the next fish.
Exactly.
Huh? So anyway, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Hey, the Masters golf tournament's coming up. I think it's the first weekend in April.
Yeah.
Maybe next week. I'm not sure. I have to look. Anyway, I know a lot of people don't care about that, but that's kind of the official kickoff for spring for me.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching the...
But Walker can post this video up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, Brent can. Brent does that now.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You mean of the bird dropping
the... bird. Yes, the bird dropping
the
fish.
Did he just slip out of his...
It did.
The fish just slipped out?
He just dropped it. I thought I had the video. Okay. I can show you.
All right. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much. We'll be back tomorrow, which will be Thursday. And we'll have today's issues at 10:05 Central Time. So join us then. Take care.